Welcome to the Destined for Success podcast. I'm your host, Jennifer Takagi, and this podcast used to be called New Manager Media, Manage Right from the Start. Many of the concepts are the same, but there's a little shift. There's a shift because I know we are all destined for success, and I want to help you find the fastest, smoothest way to reach your highest best as quickly as possible. Join me in today's episode where you're going to come up with new ways to build your skills and influence others to make the impact you desire to make. I look forward to connecting with you soon. Welcome to Destined for Success. I'm your host, Jennifer Takagi, and I have a new friend, Lindsay Correll, lives in the Austin area. And guess what? I'm going to Austin soon. We might actually meet in person, which makes it even funner to do this podcast interview today. Lindsay is the daily principal, and that's principal because principals are your pals, P-A-L, just like the principal in school. She's an operations strategist and former COO who helps successful business owners stop running their business like a personal endurance sport. And I said, oh, wow, I needed to talk to you today. Today's talk is from essential to optional. I can't wait to get into this. Thanks for being on the show, Lindsay.
Oh, Jennifer, it is my pleasure. I am so excited to be here. And we have so many things in common. And I can't believe that you're actually coming down in the next couple months and we can meet in person and tell all sorts of good stories.
I know. It's going to be great. I love people criticize about, oh, I'm so sick of being on a Zoom call, blah, blah, blah. I have met some amazing people. And then when I meet them in person, it's like, oh my gosh, we're already friends because we spent so much time in this box together. And the other thing is, I don't know who needs to hear this, but I'm just throwing it out there. I call it being hair and makeup camera ready. And I'm hair and makeup camera ready every single day. And at the beginning of COVID, I had friends say, this company called and wanted to have a Zoom call and I couldn't because I was in my pajamas. And I was like, girl, I am hair and makeup camera ready every single day. It doesn't really matter what's going on. I get up and do my hair and makeup. I don't have to do a lot to my hair because it's just a hot mess. But like, that's just who I am. That's what I do. And you should never turn down an opportunity because you were too lazy to get whatever you consider ready. Ready for you might be a t-shirt and you brushed your teeth. Perfect. That's your look. Right? Like, so whatever it is. So, I don't know how that tangent came about, but I love meeting people online because then you really can be friends. You meet in person and it's like a family reunion. A good one, not a bad.
I have to say, I am in my shorts most of the time because I am in Austin, Texas, but hopefully you will never know that I'm just in my shorts. But I did see a great video of Mr. Wonderful, you know, the finance, the Shark Tank, Mr. Wonderful, and he is in a suit jacket and a shirt, and he is in the wildest pajama pants I have ever seen. So it's not just us.
No, see, waist up, nobody cares. I actually have on sweatpants today. I'm in Oklahoma. I don't know how cold it is today, but there's still snow in my yard, which is irritating. It shouldn't stay that long. But from the waist up, you know, I can hop on a call just about any time. So that's part of being a business owner, right? You have to be ready and you have to be prepared for the next thing. So I love that you want me to go from, you know, essential to optional, because I don't want to do that.
Well, tell me, did you build this business to be the chief everything officer?
No, actually, I was on I've never told this story. It's so cute. There was some website, I can't remember what it was, or some link to a platform, and you could build a website for free. Like everything was free. And like in minutes, I built this beautiful website. And in the middle, there was a circle for your picture. And I had a picture. So I put a picture on it. And underneath, it said I was the chief entertaining officer. And I was like, I'll take it. I'm the CEO, but I could be the chief entertaining officer. But yeah, we have to do all these things. And when you get started, you're like, oh, I don't have any money. I can't hire that. I can't hire that. And then what happens? I'm going to let you tell us.
Oh, and we all start that way. I mean, we start businesses because usually because we're really good at something and we want to give our gift to the rest of the world. And we start doing that. And most, a lot of people are really good at it and they get going with that business and then they start hiring people and they see just the one-offs. What happens? Oh, I need an assistant. We all need assistants. And then you hire your next person that can probably do what you're doing. So one operator hires another operator, might be a consultant and might be a W-2 employee, whatever it is. As you grow, you start piecing out into the different departments of your business. And then one day you finally realize that yes, you have a whole team. You might even have five or six people, but they're still coming to you for everything. And I get it. I love to be in control. I love to be the center and the power, but that is not why you started your business. You started your business to have time freedom and hopefully the money to do anything that you wanted to do. So that's why you started, right?
Well, it is. And I actually started, I was in the federal government for many years. I was in housing and then housing in the federal government. And I always did training for people. Like I just was always called in. I just naturally was good at it. And when I left, I had the opportunity to leave early or relocate. And I was like, oh, I'm out the door. And one of the things I figured out very quickly, actually, even before I left, leading up to the day I left, was there's so many things as a leader that I wish I had known. I wish they had taught me. And so my podcast actually started out being New Manager Media, managed right from the start, because people didn't have the tools and skills. And then it morphed as I, went down this journey, and now destined for success, because now I can talk totally woo, airy fairy stuff, or let's get into strategic business things. And they marry together, which is like how I do my business now. But like, you don't know what to do. I literally went to a Chamber of Commerce event and tripped into a woman, and she introduced herself as a business coach. I didn't even know what that was. I didn't even know that was a thing. So then they're like, oh, hire this VA. Oh, hire this person. And the next thing you know, it's like, I feel just like I was at work. I told you what to do, and you didn't do it. And now what? Now I have to fire you. I never fired anybody in my life. And now I've got a VA that won't do what I ask when I ask. I do have a great one now, but it's that trial and error. It's hard.
It is hard, and so many people don't think about when they're first starting out building the business in a structured way. You know, franchises, you buy a franchise because it is completely structured and it is built for you to come in, put your money in it, hire the people, and then hopefully step back out. That is what a franchise is. It has a process and it has a system. And if you follow it, you will most likely succeed. And that's why people pay big monies for franchise. So when you're first starting your business, yes, of course, it's all you. But as you start growing, you need to think about the structure that you're going to put into your business so that you will have that opportunity to either take more time for yourself, be with your kids. If, God forbid, you're in the sandwich generation and your parents need more time, you have that opportunity that you can do that. So
Well, and
that's
you hear people say, oh, I'm an entrepreneur. I can't be gone. I can't be gone. Well, they just
if you're saying
took
that.
an 80-hour a week job instead of their 40-hour a week job.
Well, let me tell you, when I first started building this business, and I have worked for several companies, startups to big corporate, and I have always been in a position where people come to me for answers. So, of course, I feel like I can run my own business. Everybody comes to me for answers. But I did build my business that way. And then I had a heart attack. And when you have a heart attack, you stop. And if your business isn't set up or structured to move forward without you, your business stops too. And that's exactly what happened to mine because I was in the hospital for 2 days staring at that ceiling tile, wondering what the heck just happened and was my life or my business worth the 80 hours a week that I was putting in? That answer is no, absolutely not.
That's a hard stop.
No, it's not worth it. You know, when God taps you on the shoulder and says slow down, it's time to slow down. So it helped me solidify that what I'm doing for business owners is the right path, because I no longer work 60, 50 hours a week. It's not good for me, and it's not good for my business. So I started putting structures into place, delegating stuff. And when I delegate, I actually give the authority to people to do the task that I've given them to. Because if you delegate and you don't give authority, you pretty much just gave yourself another task, because that person is just going to come back to you to make sure that they've done it right.
Again and again and again. Yeah, I was in a position, and that helped solidify my choice to leave. I had a boss, and she'd give me something and I'd get started, and she was right in the hot middle of it, and it was like, lady, I have been here way longer than you. I'm pretty sure how to do this. Don't need your help. And it makes it really hard, but you have to. And you have to let them, I'm going to say it's a little bit of trial and error, but you have to give it to them and give the authority. But we all have those moments. And fortunately, I did not have that moment of an actual physical heart attack like you did, which thank goodness you recovered. But you have that moment of what do I want this to be? And years ago, a coach said, if you want to be off Mondays and Fridays, you need to start building your business with you being off Mondays and Fridays. And I can remember thinking, yeah, I'm going to do that. Yeah, I'm going to do that. I never did that. And the next thing I knew, I was working till 5 and 6 on a Friday afternoon. And I was like, I left my career that I had for many years so I could leave early every Friday. This is stupid. And so now nobody can get on my calendar on a Monday or Friday unless I specifically put them on it. But that's one of those structures, those boundaries that you have to put in place. What do you want your business to look like? I'm guessing that's part of your strategy is,
That's
why do
true.
you
That's
want this?
what do you want? And did you build this business to be at it 60 hours a week? I didn't.
I did not.
Absolutely, I didn't do that. So it's like I look at when I come into businesses, I look at, where are the dependencies? Where does this business depend on you? Do you have to be the final decision maker? Are you the only person that talks to clients, or are your employees start with the clients and they send them to you to finish it off, to do the final sale? Are you the closer? Or are you like me? I love numbers. I love finance and accounting, and I keep those pieces for myself because they're fun. I love the numbers parts. We're all guilty of that. We find the things that we really love to do, and we keep them. We keep them to ourselves. We might not even write them down. I'm going to ask, do you have SOPs, standard operating procedures? Oh, that's a
Seriously,
no. I saw it in your face.
don't ask me that question.
The standard operating procedures are a painful to write. Yes, I know. But with AI, they're getting easier and easier to write. And the whole point is to actually have them available to the person that needs to do that task. If for some reason you can't do it, or if you're bringing on a new person, you can train them up faster, you can hire. And it's so easy with AI right now. You don't even have to do the old painful process that we used to have to do, where you wrote down every single thing that you did.
I worked for the federal government, and I was asked to go to Washington, D.C. for the summer to work on this project. And I was like, no, I'm not doing that. No, it's summer. No, I go to the lake. No, I'm not doing that. Which, of course, I did do it. Like, right? You can't really say no. You just pretend, say no. And we had funding, and there was it. Come to, tr I mean, like, I kind of knew this, but then when I got in the middle of it, I really knew it. There was one person in the entire country who knew how to process funds to get them when they came from the Treasury to HUD and then get out. She had a team, and each person on the team had one piece, but she was the only one who had the overall what you do, like how this works. And I was there 4 solid weeks. Working with a brand new team who didn't know any more than I did to figure out how to get the first little block of money moved to the right place. And then once we did that, then it moved very quickly and I was able to accomplish the goal and whatever. But like at the very end, I'm talking to one of my bosses and I was like, oh my God, this was the hardest summer of my life. And she said, why? And I said, nobody knew how to do this. And she goes, Jennifer, we brought you in all the way from Oklahoma City because you know it. And I went, no, I knew how to use it when it got to my level. But I didn't know how to do it from that level to get it down to my level. And she goes, really? And I said, yes, that one person was the only person in the entire country who knew how to do it. So we did. And I mean, the goal was I had to have written instructions, screenshots, so that when I left, it would still go. And I'm just assuming somebody took my screenshotted 70-page document and made it look prettier. But there, I mean, the process is the same, unless
Yeah,
they change the computer
it
system.
happens in every small business.
Everyone, like, and that was the federal government and it was going on. So you imagine when you get down, to the microcosm of us.
Right. And when you hire as a small business owner, it's like, okay, I don't want to do accounting anymore. So you hire an accountant, or I don't want to do this anymore. Yeah. And that's and you hire that person and you kind of silo them when you first hire them because you're not thinking about how does this structure all build together. So it's building that structure together, making sure you have SOPs in place, and then hopefully, the dependence on you won't compound quietly because when everything is siloed or when you're not paying attention to how you build it, that pressure builds quietly and it will keep you trapped in your business if you don't actually take the steps to put your structure in place. So we all know how to do it. Well, if you don't know how to do it, I can help you with it. But it's if you're starting a new business now, great. Start putting that structure into place now. You can think about where you want to be in 2 years, 5 years, 10 years, the Monday and Friday off. And start putting that structure into place. I think the biggest thing is let people, if you hire people, let them make decisions and give them the authority to do it. And I would ask, if you're a business owner, ask yourself if that person that you just delegated to, that you gave the authority to, if they screw up, what is the worst thing that could happen? And what are you going to do? How are you going to react to it?
I love this. And I kept receiving guidance because I needed help. Like I was not getting some things done. I did start with a bookkeeper CPA immediately because I don't want to do that. Could I do it? Probably. Do I want to? Absolutely not. So I just send it all to them, let them figure it out because I don't want to. That is not my forte. But I would hire VAs to help with some of, I'm going to call them clerical type tasks, like put together my social media posts, put together the emails, get them set up in systems. And things kept not going well. And one of my friends slash mentors said, well, you need to go on to Zoom and record yourself doing the task so they have something to look at. And then you're building your library of training. And that sounded great. And I looked at her and I went, I have go high level. I don't know how to do it. Like, I don't know how to do it. And the problem is, I mean, I can do a lot. Don't get me wrong. I can do a lot and go high level. But then there's this one tipping point of the automations of getting everything connected and the right triggers that I fall off a cliff and I'm like, oh, screw it. I can't do this. But I kept hiring these VAs and they're like, oh yeah, I can do it. And they couldn't, but they were the lower price. And I met a woman online briefly and I was like, do you do VA work? And she was like, yes. And after a couple of months, I reached out and said, okay, how do I hire you? What do you charge? How do I make this happen? And she was substantially higher than in cost than like the foreign VAs in the Philippines or Brazil or wherever. If you know how to train those people, do it good. Like, yes. I said, I need to send this email. Here it is. Here's the link to it in the Google Doc. And I want it to go this date, blah, blah, blah. It was perfect and beautiful. Was she more expensive? Yes. Did she spend substantially less time doing the work?
Yes.
Yes. Like when I get her invoices, I feel almost a little guilty because I'm like, holy crapoli, like I spent way more than that on these VAs that couldn't get it done. And let's be clear, it was my fault. I didn't know how to do a video to show them how to use the platform, like, because that was not my deal. So I think it's very important, just to reiterate your point, pick the things you don't want to do at all and then find the appropriate person to get that done for you.
And in this digital economy, you can find that person. And you can find the level that you want to pay. You can find them down the street in Oklahoma. You can find them in the Philippines. They are out there. And there are so many small business owner groups. Ask in your groups. I will guarantee you somebody in there has an excellent VA that they will be happy to refer to for you to, unless, of course, that is their secret sauce, and then maybe not.
Like if they're a full-time permanent employee, maybe not. But yeah, I love that. So as I'm okay, let's say I'm going to start over. I don't want to start over. But Lindsay, let's say I want to start over and I've got my magic I want to bring to the world, whether I'm a speaker, a trainer, an author, whatever it is that I want to share with the world. Do you have a recommendation of like what that foundational piece would be that I really need to consider so that I can stay in my lane and I can just be my magical self and I don't have to do these other things?
I work mostly with companies that have already been in business for 7 to 10 years, and they normally have 5 to 15, 20 employees. And I work with the owner to identify what their dependencies are. And if you're just starting out, I think this would be great. I have a quiz that you can see where your dependencies are. It takes about 3 minutes. It's 8 questions. It's at independentsnapshot.com, but it'll kind of give you the high level areas of where the big dependencies are. You can start there and look at, oh, what is my structure? What is my business structure? Where do I want to be? Let's say 1 year from now, 2 years from now. I'm not working Mondays, I'm not working Fridays, or if I'm working Friday, it's 8 to 12, and then I'm off. So you already know what you're going to do. You can structure your business within those 3.5 days of, where's your sales? Where's your marketing? What is your first hire going to do? Each company is a little bit different depending on what the skills of the business owner are. So your first hire is going to have skills that will complement yours, that will be different than yours, but will complement what the business is doing.
I love that.
So your structure is there. You can easily put that structure in place and start. If you can start from the beginning doing your processes and your procedures, they'll change. Of course, they'll change once you have them down, of course, they're going to change again. But that way, if you think, oh my gosh, I have this opportunity for me to focus on, and if I could hire somebody immediately, you already have that process that you can hand them. So it's already there. You don't have to spend that much more time doing it.
And then I can decide, is this essential that I'm the only one that does this, or is it optional that I do it?
Yeah, and if we take the long-term view, if you're to the point where you're finally selling your company, the buyers that are looking at your company are going to look at how much time you spend in your company. And if you are the key person in your company, the value of your company has just gone down significantly. So I love to think about like the end in mind. If I'm thinking I'm going to build this with 10, 15 employees and I want to sell it, I cannot be the linchpin. I may be the name or the face, but I cannot be the one that is doing all the work, or that means my business isn't worth that much in the end.
And so when you do, how do people find you? Like I'm never gonna have that many employees because that's like a lot. But a lot of people want that. Like that is their vision, and we've got to stay within our vision, right? Or it's not gonna work very well. So I've got those 10 employees, and now I'm like, ooh, what if I want to leave? I have a friend who actually helps companies get ready to sell, and she likes to go in 5 years ahead of time, which I mean, that's a beautiful niche. One of my favorite restaurants that had been around since I was in college shut down last summer. They were like, we're tired, we want to retire. And it was like, holy crap, you had a beautiful location and a lovely menu, and the college kids liked you, and the older people after they're out of college still go back. And they literally just shut the doors because they had no future plan. So I think one of the things I would push out to the audience is, when you decide you don't want to do this anymore, are you okay with just closing the doors?
That's a lot of work.
And if you don't want to just close the doors, again, now you need to make it profitable so that you can sell it and make it desirable to somebody.
It needs to have a process. It needs to have a plan. Again, that's why franchises sell so easily, and that's why they're so popular, because they have a plan. You know, step by step by step, what you're going to do to make money. And if you can franchise your business so that you have the process and the structure in there, that makes you more saleable. And to your friend's point, you know, minimum 2 years you're going to need to make sure your business is saleable. Five, that's great. That's a great place to start. And sometimes you don't have 5 years to sell. I ran into a business where it was a husband and wife, and they had two contractors, and the husband got sick. And when the husband and wife team runs the base of the business, the finance and the sales part, and you have contractors doing the work, there has to be a lot of structure there so that you can hand it off so that both people can leave at the same time. Unfortunately, they didn't have the structure, and their business just wasn't worth that much because they needed to sell within 6 months.
And I've heard on a lot of those husband and wife couples, one of them passes away and the other one doesn't know all the ins and outs. And I'll just throw out there the show Landman. Are you watching that with Billy Bob Thornton? When Demi Moore's husband, John Hamm, dies, oh, spoiler alert, that was what happens. Like, she doesn't know anything about the business. She doesn't know what the financial pieces are. And then she steps in and decides she's going to run this business. And it's like, wait, that's not right. My husband's a realtor and he has a broker, but his business is his own. And God forbid something would happen to him, I'm going to be like calling everybody saying, okay, you need to find another realtor. Like, I'm not doing it. Like, we're not in each other's businesses. I probably should have that conversation with him. What are you going to do if you?
Yeah, what does he want to do? What is his vision for it? Because at least Demi Moore Cammy had a couple lawyers and a president and people that already knew how to run that company. She at the very least had that. You are going to have a hard time stepping in to be the broker.
Yeah, because I don't want to. I mean, like, let's be clear. I was in housing for 30 years. I don't want to go into real estate. Like, I don't want to do that. But yeah, in mine, somebody asked me, what are you going to do with your business? I do leadership development, but I'm also an energy healer and a high performance coach. And I'm like, it's really just me, and I'm happy with it being me, and I don't want it bigger than me. And when I decide I'm done, I will just, as my clients get to the end of the term of their contracts, I will just be, I'm not renewing. Let me refer you to somebody else because I don't need it to be a legacy or to go on. Like, I'm not going to train people and certify people because that's what I would have to do to keep my business going. I don't need that. I can refer people out. Maybe that would be selling it. I'm going to refer you all my clients. Like that could be my path.
You could do that, and if you have an online program that you created, maybe you could even sell that.
So let me write that down in my list of notes. Sell online pro. I do have a few online programs.
And let's be fair, if they're running and they're making money, you can continue to run an online program, even with an assistant.
Well, I mean, I love this because we're going to be together in Austin soon.
Yes, we are.
And we can dive into what's personally important to me.
Yes, we can. That'll be fun.
It's all about me. It's all about me. So, okay, if I have a small business up to 20 employees and I'm listening to this episode going, holy crapoli, like I'm doing way more than I should. Like, I am paying these people and what this may not be the structure I want. And they want to reach out to you, Lindsay, and say, can we have a conversation? What does that look like? How can we facilitate that?
I'm at my website is Daily Principal, as we talked about, your pal, principal.com. You can reach me there. You can take the independent snapshot, which is independentsnapshot.com. That will also give you just a real quick down and dirty about where your dependencies are. And if you are serious about finding what your dependencies are right at this point in time, I have a very an assessment called the Owner Independence Readiness Assessment. And that is 26 pieces, and it'll take a deep dive into where you are most dependent, and then it'll give you your top three ways or paths to start working on those dependencies so you can start stepping out of your business. But that's all at dailyprinciple.com.
I love that daily principle. And we were joking at the beginning of this. I was like, do you know how you like really know how to spell principle, PAL versus PLE? Because I learned in elementary school, your principal is your pal, PAL, and a principal is not. A principal is
And I
not.
am your pal in structure because I build by structure, not by sacrifice.
Oh, that's like a tagline. Build by structure, not by sacrifice. I love that. Well, and I literally have had this conversation with a couple of people about what are you going to do when you decide that you want to be like officially retired, retired. And it was like, oh my gosh, what am I going to do? Like, what am I going to do with my team? So I have somebody I'm going to be referring to you like as soon as we hang up. So like
I
this.
would love to talk to them because yes, now's the time to think about it. There are a lot of people out there that are thinking about it's time.
Well, and you put your blood, sweat, and tears. And I will say, I did have a year where I cried a lot because I was working with a coach, and the word "just" became a complete trigger word for me. She'd say, "Just do this, then that will happen. Just do that." And I spent hours and hours and hours just doing this and just doing that. And guess what happened?
Nothing.
Absolutely nothing. And I was like, oh my God, like this just is like weighing me down. So I finally got over that hurdle and that coach. And like you put your blood, sweat, and tears and your heart and soul into your business. So you should be able to enjoy the freedom because most of us who are entrepreneurs, we went in this for the freedom, not to have another W-2 type job where we're working 80 hours a week instead of 20 or 30.
It will wear you down. If you're working 60, 70 hours a week as you get older, that could lead to things that you don't want to think about, like tap on the shoulder and small heart attack.
You're going to be laying in that hospital staring at that
Don't
ceiling,
do
counting those dots in that
Don't
ceiling.
do it. You know, if anything else, put some structure in your business so you have more space for your health.
Oh, yeah, because that, I mean, that's the one thing we do have more control over. We pretend we don't, but we have way more control over that than we think.
Yes, we do.
Oh, gosh, Lindsay, this has been delightful getting to know you. So, as we wrap up, any final words for our audience?
Well, as I've said before, please jump in and take that independent snapshot. That will give you a quick taste of where you are super dependent in your business. And that is independentsnapshot.com. And I am Lindsay Carell with the Daily Principle, and I look forward to speaking to you.
I'm Jennifer Takagi with Destined for Success, and I look forward to connecting with you soon. Thank you for taking your time to spend with me on this latest podcast of Destined for Success. Please take a moment to leave a review, share it with a friend, and subscribe, and get the newest episodes every Monday morning. I'm Jennifer Takagi, and I look forward to connecting with you soon.